Talk 101 FM, first with news and talk in Decatur. I'm Tara Nickerson. You're listening to The Daily Wrap. Thanks for joining us on the program. Well, right now, we're joined by a special guest on the line. Linda Krill is joining us. She's a sought-after Washington, D.C. area consultant, an international speaker who's worked with Citigroup, Cadbury Mott's, Goldman Sachs, and more. And we're excited to have her on the line. She's also the author of a book called Blind Curves. Hi, how are you?
Glad to be with you today, Tara.
Thanks so much. Well, Linda, I was really intrigued when I read what the book Blind Curves was based on. I felt like this is a really fantastic and I think very inspiring story that a lot of people, especially those maybe, baby boomers, anyone in midlife or who's gone through a very dramatic life change, one that all of those people can probably relate to.
Well, I think all of us in life have losses of different kinds, whether it's a job or health or something that happens to someone we love. And in my case, I lost my husband to cancer. He had been a very healthy man and suddenly was diagnosed, and he was gone 11 months later. And so, like a lot of people, I was asking, what now? I mean, you go through a period of grieving, but then you're ready to move forward again. And the problem with so many of us after we've had a dramatic change is we go, what now? And nothing seems right.
You know, I think that a lot of people, first of all, it takes a period of time before you even start to think, what now? You're kind of going through, I'm sure, the grieving process or just trying to regroup. But then when you start thinking about what now, I think sometimes people try maybe a little too hard to get things back to normal, but we maybe need to be looking for an entirely new normal.
Well, that's exactly right, Tara. It's just natural that we try to put back life the way it was or put as much of it back as we can. But so many times, circumstances have changed. And Einstein has a favorite quote that we often say that doing more of the same and expecting different results is insanity. And so after 18 months of doing all the things I was supposed to do to be moving forward with life, and my former career was helping companies make changes, so I even used all those principles in my life, I couldn't think of anything that really intrigued me and excited me. And I was ready to be passionate about life, but no thing I could think of was working.
And so how did you move from that position or that mindset that you just spoke of to be ready and able to take the step to sign up for a 2,500-mile road trip down America's Pacific Northwest coast? I mean, how do you get to that point?
Well, it wasn't a way that I would recommend most people, but I just was fed up with being told to sleep and exercise and eat healthy and to do all this positive thinking. And I just thought, if I've done all this and I've overachieved it, I was bicycling 120 miles a week. I was doing Pilates classes. I was eating more holistically, I teasingly said, than Whole Foods, and I was still miserable. And so I thought and just sarcastically said, what's the most opposite thing I can think of to all this wonderful expert advice? And I just, out of rebellion, threatened to learn to ride a motorcycle, but I was never going to do it. And what happened was the next day when I saw a friend and he asked me how I was doing, he thought 18 months later she'll be saying she's doing very well. And I looked at him and I said, I even threatened to learn to ride a motorcycle. And he started to laugh and says, Linda, I organize motorcycle trips and we're going in 2 months to Vancouver, Canada to do the coast of Washington, Oregon, Northern California. We need you. Come along. And I was going, no, that's not me.
And so he convinced you to go and take a class that would get you ready for this excursion, I'm guessing?
Well, it's one of those things where ignorance is sometimes bliss, because there's no way you take a 3-day training class where you've never gotten out of third gear and you're still in a parking lot, and 30 days later go out west and jump on a full-sized motorcycle and throw 50 pounds of luggage and you're ready for the trip. So I was grossly unprepared for what came in front of me.
And so how did you handle the challenge? Was it a great experience? Was it a mixed bag in terms of, a little bit good and a little bit bad? What was it?
You know, it turned out to be exactly the right thing for me, even though I thought I was just going on an escape from my life. I didn't realize I was going to end up taking myself with me. And what happened was, because it was so difficult, I failed the motorcycle class. I failed at the DMV several times getting my license. But the thing I learned after a loss was I could keep coming back and trying again. And on the trip, I faced so much fear because so many times I was in over my head. But every time you face fear and you stay with it and make it to the other side, what people forget is that's when true joy hits you, when you go, oh my gosh, I did that.
You know, it really is fascinating. And I think that there are probably people listening to us right now who are in a rut. And yet at the same time, you know, while your story sounds fantastic, they're thinking, well, I can't do that. I just can't go out and buy a motorcycle and go on a 2,500-mile trip. So what do you recommend that they do to maybe achieve some of the wonderful things that you did in terms of getting your life, you know, on track towards something that was going to bring you more happiness?
Tara, you bring up a very good point. I'm not recommending that people go on motorcycle trips. I was lucky. I survived it. I did well, and I'm still enjoying motorcycling. But we all have to erase what the boundaries were around the old person that we were and say, what else can I try new? And like when I became a single woman, I needed to be able to go out and meet people after a period of time. And I went to my first single dance, and I sat there in the parking lot ready to have a paper bag hyperventilating into it. And I said to myself, Linda, if you just go inside and stay 5 minutes, that's success. That's more than you've done in the past. And so I went in, and 5 minutes later, I left. But the next time I went back, I stayed a half an hour, and eventually I started staying the whole party. And I think that's the same way, whether we've lost a job or not, is not to say, oh, I can only go back and get the job I had, but to go out there and start trying new things. And don't worry if you make mistakes. Don't worry if it's overwhelming. Do it, chunk it down, and do it in pieces that make sense.
And so when people pick up your book, I'm sure that it reads a little bit like an adventure, but at the same time will help maybe inspire them to, you know, to think outside of the lines when it comes to what, you know, what life could possibly have in store for them in the second half, or I should say in the next inning, because sometimes it's people who are very young who find themselves in this situation where life didn't pan out the way they had originally hoped it was going to.
Well, first of all, I think it's a good story, and I wrote it to be something that was enjoyable and not another self-help book, but just a great story. And just like when people read Chicken Soup for the Soul, everybody gets something different out of a story. I think people will find different things in perhaps in the way I handled it. And they may even look at what I did and say, oh my God, I would never do that. But people often love to see how someone else explores, and then they say, oh my God, that's what would work for me, or that's not what would work for me. So it's not meant to be a preachy story. It's meant to be a fun story, and hopefully people enjoy the ride.
And I think that, you know, a lot of people will probably find that if they can challenge themselves a little bit, it probably will help them through the grieving process. I mean, it had been 18 months for you, but, you know, time doesn't necessarily heal all those wounds. Sometimes we've got to find other things to bring us joy and happiness.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. Blind curves, I call it a blind curve because when you no longer can continue doing more of the same, in other words, it's the whole idea that you're sad that you don't have a job or you're grieving, we have to go into what we don't know, and that's what I'm calling the blind curve. And sometimes in the middle of that blind curve, you'll find a deer standing there in the middle of the road that you have to swerve around. But if you go around enough blind curves, eventually you have this wide horizon in front of you to create from, and nothing is more exciting than when you've been held back by something because you're afraid, and when you finally do it and find out, I can do this.
Well, it sounds fantastic. It's a wonderful story, and so we encourage our listeners to pick up your book. Again, it's called Blind Curves, and it's available at Amazon.com or, I assume,
any of the online bookstores, and it's available in both ebook and in softback.
Fantastic. Linda Krill has been my guest, the author of Blind Curves, and we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today, Linda. Thanks so much.
Glad to join you.
You're listening to The Daily Wrap on Talk 101 FM. We're always first with news and talk in Decatur.